If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater. Please check out our YouTube channel page, C Answers TV. That's CANSWERSTV. Just type it into the YouTube search box, then click on one of our links for it. Our channel page features 19 playlists on all types of subjects, such as Jehovah's Witnesses with 17 videos. And by the way, these are videos we've produced ourselves. Mormonism, 14 videos. Seventh-day Adventism, 11 videos. Phony TV Preachers and King James Onlyites, 14 videos. Nation of Islam, Black Muslims, this is of the Louis Farrakhan type, 20 videos. God-hating Atheists, Agnostics, and Know-It-Alls, 18 videos. Darwin's Metaphysical Evolution Religion, 17 videos. UFOs, Ghosts, Magic, Spiritual Warfare, 16 videos. Islam, such as Sunni Muslims, Shiite Muslims, Alawites, Sufis, 54 videos. Roman Catholicism, Idolatry, and the Virgin Mary, 71 videos. Anti-Trinitarian, such as the United Pentecostal Church, and Church History, 36 videos. Antichrist cults, the New Age, and world religions, 38 videos. Saved by Works Baptism, Church of Christ Campbellism, 69 videos. Hell, Lake of Fire, Unpopular Bible Doctrines, 19 videos. Predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism, 54 videos. End Times, Supernatural Prophecies and Tough Bible Questions, 20 videos, and others.
Greetings and welcome once again to our program. Our program, of course, is Christian Answers, and I'm Larry Wessels, the director of Christian Answers. And I want to thank you for being with us today. Anyone that's familiar with our show, which has been on the air since way back in 1985 when we first started, we've been doing religious broadcasting ever since then, and we've covered a wide variety of topics and subjects from a biblical Christian perspective. In this particular series that we're doing here, and this is show number 4 now in this particular series, we're covering the topic of the Baha'i World Faith. There's a lot of people out there that want to know more about it, or in some cases they've never heard about it and they want to find out about it. But the key is we're covering this particular religion in this series and discussing it, obviously, from our biased perspective, which is a Christian perspective, but I think the bias is predicated on the truth of the Bible. And the Bible itself has over 2,000 fulfilled prophecies in it. It's got all the archaeological evidence you could ever want, because the people, places, and events mentioned in it are real people, real places, and real events. There really is a Jerusalem. You know, it's not like Zeus on Mount Olympus. There may be a Mount Olympus, but then when you go up there, you don't see any Zeus or any of that other stuff. But the key is, the Bible is historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, 2,000 fulfilled prophecies, 456 Old Testament messianic prophecies just about the coming of the Messiah in the New Testament, which is fulfilled in Jesus. We have manuscript evidence going all the way back. So everything you could want for evidence is there. And so that's why I'm biased for the Bible. I just thought I'd get that in. But joining me on the our broadcast, as usual, is our Director of Research for Christian Answers, Steve Morrison. Steve, as usual, great to have you here.
Thank you, Dave.
And it's always a pleasure to enjoy all the time and effort you put into doing your research to help our viewers learn more about whatever topic we happen to be discussing. And, of course, we're discussing the Baha'i World Faith in this case. Now, this is show number 4 already in this series. We've got into a lot of the historical background of the Baha'is. We've got into a lot of the theological ideas that they propound. We got into the claims, particularly in show number 3, of Baha'u'llah being a fulfillment of the Muslim Mahdi, the fulfillment of the Christian Jesus, and so forth in the last episode. And now we're sort of in show number 4. We're picking up where we left off, and we're continuing to move through some of this excellent research that you've been able to amass. So I'd like you, with that, to pick up where we left off and run with it.
All right. Well, we're going through and seeing reasons why the Baha'u'llah's claim to be from God and to be who he claims it is false. And, you know, you kind of want to ask the question when you hear all those claims, will the real prophet please stand up? You know, it's easy for someone to claim to be a prophet of God or be a successor, but proving it is another matter. Many people claim to be from God, but they were counterfeits serving Satan. I mean, you can think of, you know, Jim Jones, Dave Koresh. In the Muslim world, you have many others, Salman Rashad. In the Hinduism, you have people who claim to be some reincarnation, and they have followers and get lots of money. And an Indian guy told me a lot of them come to America because they're more gullible in America than India. But whether that's not true, I think there's enough gullibility to go around for everybody. So we want to look at some of his teaching and see how it stacks up. If he claims to be Christ's return, especially, let's see what the Bible really says about Christ's return. Okay, the Baha'u'llah, he suffered imprisonment. However, he was not killed. He died a natural death from fever, and he was very wealthy toward the end of his life. And Azalees claimed that the Baha'u'llah had his followers attack Azalees. You look at Muhammad. Muhammad faced persecution, that is true, but he also persecuted others far more. He died a natural death, but about a year before he died, he ate some poisoned mutton, that's lamb, given to him by a woman whose husband was killed by Muhammad. The Hadiths record that Muhammad ordered assassinations, torture, surprise attacks against unsuspecting people, and Muhammad asked forgiveness for his sins many times. Now, the point in bringing this up is that Baha'is claim that Muhammad is one of their prophets or is a prophet of God. And here's a guy that ordered assassinations and tortured people, and he's one of the Baha'i prophets, according to them. Okay. Now, Jesus suffered and died as a martyr for his teaching. He was materially poor all his life. Jesus did not persecute anybody. He said to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. Even Muslims agree with the Bible that Jesus lived a sinless life. Okay. Let's compare miracles. The Baha'u'llah did not perform any miracles of whom I've seen records. The Hadiths claim many miracles from Muhammad, including splitting the moon in two, but the Quran at one point said that Muhammad didn't show them any signs besides bringing the Quran. Now, other people have pointed the Quran and said, well, maybe there's an inference to him splitting the moon in two in the Quran. But regardless of whether the claim, no one in the entire world recorded that the moon was split in two except the Hadiths. So, and this inference may be in the Quran. So it's like he didn't do any miracles that anybody else saw. The Hadiths are the writings of the teachings and the practices of Muhammad and early Muslims. Apart from the Quran, they probably have the same or slightly higher importance in Sunni Islam than, let's say, the popes and Catholic teaching has in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So people live or die based upon what is said in the Hadith.
And a lot of Islamic law in these Middle Eastern countries is predicated on the Hadith and what they say. So when you get the Sharia law in these Muslim countries, it mainly comes from Hadith. But then there's also a lot of other Muslim sects and groups that deny the Hadith.
Sufis, Alawites, various Shiite groups accept them to various degrees.
Right. So anyway, that should clear up for anyone that was wondering what the Hadiths were.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, let's look at prophecies about whoever. The Baha'u'llah claimed that he was prophesied by Zoroastrians as the Shah Bahram. He He claimed he was prophesied in the Bible as Christ returned, and claimed that he was prophesied in Shiite Islam as the 12th Imam returned. However, he does not fulfill the Zoroastrian prophecies because he did not convincingly overthrow the evil Ahiram in Zoroastrianism. In fact, the Baha'u'llah did not overthrow anyone. The Ba'a promised that the Mahdi would come in 1,000 years, and the Baha'u'llah claimed himself only 19 years after the Baha's death. All right, as shown in our previous show, the Baha'u'llah did not follow the Shiite prophecies about the Mahdi, the least of which the Mahdi and Christ are two different people who both return. Okay, Acts 1 and Revelation show how Christ returns, and it will be the same Christ, not another person who says he's the Christ. It'll be in the clouds, and every eye will see him. Frankly, you know, about every eye seeing Christ, well, most of the world hasn't even seen the Baha'u'llah, so they have no idea who he is. Okay, Muslims claim that Muhammad was prophesied in the Bible in different passages.
Oh, before we continue with that, I'd just like to show the people at home. You just mentioned they haven't seen Baha'u'llah. Well, here's a picture of him.
Okay.
So now everybody can see who this return of Christ and the Mahdi and everything is supposed to look like. And, of course, there's nothing about this man that you would think that he's going to accomplish all these great things. And, of course, historically, he did not. He's just another guy claiming to be Christ, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew chapter 24. He said that many false prophets will come after him in his name, Matthew 24. You know, just for your information, here's what the man looked like. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Muslims claim, you know, verses in the Bible refer to Christ. Baha'is claim that verses in the Bible refer to Christ. And we're going to deal just with that in some other shows. So we're going to pass over that kind of lightly here. Let's look at what the Bible says about how Christ will come. All right, for one thing, it says that the Christ will come from David, Jeremiah 23:5, Luke 3:31, Matthew 1:1, 9:27, and other verses that you can read. It says that Christ will be the Son of God, which Muslims deny, the Quran denies, and if Baha'is say the Quran is from God, then Baha'is would have to deny he's the Son of God. It also says this child, the Messiah, will be called Mighty God, Prince of Peace, etc. in Isaiah 9:6. In Isaiah 9:6, sometimes Jewish people say, oh, deny that, so that wasn't a messianic prophecy. But according to Jewish sources, Isaiah 9:6 is a messianic prophecy. According to the Yemenite Midrash, 349 and 350, and the Perek Shalom, page 101. Okay? When will the Messiah come? All right, it says the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes to whom it belongs. So the scepter, which a king would have, the kingship would not leave Judah. That is considered that the Jewish people, after Jesus' birth, the Romans took away from them the any promise, any hope of ever having their own government. They didn't have the right to put anyone to death. And it's interesting that Jewish people themselves recognize this as there is no scepter, there's no power there anymore. Now, Genesis 49:10, it's messianic prophecy according to Luke 3:23-33. Well, quoting Luke to a Jewish person might not do a whole lot to prove that it's messianic to them. But it is messianic according to the Jewish writings of the Babylonian and Jerusalem Talmuds, the Targum Jonathan, the Targum Pseudo-Jonathan, Targum Onkelos, Dead Sea Scroll Commentary for kind of the Children of Light sect, and the Aramaic Targum. And the Jews lost the right to execute people in 11 A.D., according to the Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin, chapter 4. Okay, Jesus would come to the temple, so that would mean that the Messiah would have to come before the temple was destroyed in Malachi 3:1. And, of course, the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. after the Jews rebelled. Okay, Jesus was killed around 32, 33 A.D., around that time period, and that is according to Daniel 9:20-27. Is a prophecy of that. You date the start of the prophecy according to Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 through 10, that 70 weeks of years, and he'd be killed at the end of the 69th week, would start 445 to 444 BC.
Oh, well, I'd interject here, too, that our ministry, Christian Answers, besides having our websites, BibleQuery.org, MuslimHope.com, HistoryCart.com, we offer free newsletters, but we also have this prophecy. I myself thought, of all these thousands of prophecies in the Bible, this is the most incredible one of all of them. And so I've got a paper that we offer free to anyone who would like to get a copy of it. Just contact our ministry, and it'll go into very much detail to show you how this particular prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 is fulfilled to the exact day. And, of course, this is confirmed by the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England, using the calendars, as a matter of fact, the Julian calendar with the Hebrew calendar, matching the times given in the Bible as you were given references to Nehemiah and then your New Testament references. And it came down to the exact day, as Steve was just elaborating here. And it's all right there. If anyone wants to get a copy of that, just contact our ministry. We'll be glad to send that to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, some person might want to try to claim that, well, maybe these, you know, Christ died this time, Christ did these things, and so these were kind of back written into the Bible. All right, well, that is not true because, you know, the Jewish people would not have put something in their own scriptures that would show that Christ is the promised Messiah. Furthermore, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls from the time of Christ, as well as other copies of the Old Testament by Jewish people. And the Jewish Old Testament is the same content as the Old Testament that Protestant.
Well, had. Even the Jewish scholars that put together the Greek Septuagint, mm-hmm. that was 200 years before Christ.
Right.
And so this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 is in there just like it is on these other references
right.
you're giving.
Right. And Jewish sources have even, I won't say admitted, but they've even said that these are messianic prophecies. They didn't have anything to admit. They just say it as a fact. Some Jewish sources are Maimonides in Igaret Timon, Rabbi Moses Abraham Levi in the Messiah of the Targums, and the Talmuds and rabbinical writers. So even Jewish sources recognize that these are messianic. Okay. Now, let's see what this says about the character of the Messiah. What will the Messiah do? Well, the Old Testament said that it showed the ministry of miracles in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6a, and that's confirmed in all the miracles in the Gospels. It said he'd enter as a king on a donkey in Zechariah 9:9, which is confirmed in Luke 19:35-37, as well as Matthew 21:5-9 and John 12:15. He said it wouldn't be abandoned to death in Psalm 16:8-11 and 33, and this is confirmed as referring to Christ in the New Testament in Acts 2:31-13:33, in Mark 16:16, Matthew 28:6, and Luke 24:46. And also says in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. That's in Isaiah 11:2, which was said to be fulfilled, you know, by Matthew in Matthew 3:16 and Mark 1-10, Luke 4:15-20 and 32, and John 1:32. Now the Spirit of the Lord being upon him in Isaiah 11:2, that was recognized by Jewish scholars as messianic, according to the Targum Isaiah and the Babylonian Talmud. All right, so these weren't back written in the Bible because we have the Dead Sea Scrolls from the time of Christ and before. Christians are not just saying these are messianic and no one else says that because Jewish people says they are messianic also.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Well, I've always felt like biblical prophecy is one of your strongest proofs for the veracity of the Bible. That the Bible is actually true, because how can all these, you know, there people make a big deal about Nostradamus and these psychics that are out there, but, you know, back when I was a kid, I was big on Nostradamus for a little while because I saw some movie about him with Orson Welles, and so I went out and got his quatrains, and I was eager to find out what was going to happen in the future, and this was like 1970 or 1969 or something like that. I'm sitting there looking through this thing to see, oh boy, I'm going to find out what's going to happen next year, or maybe 5 years from now. And I read through that thing, and I was so disappointed. I mean, I said, good grief. This is all so vague. Doesn't tell me a thing. You can just make anything out of this that you want. And I was just, you know, I was really disillusioned. But then I became a Christian by learning about Bible prophecies, and then starting to find out about how these things have been fulfilled, and it started to blow my mind, because it wasn't just one, two, and it wasn't vague stuff that you can make. It was very specific things that are happening, and they're happening over hundreds and even thousands of years mm-hmm. by different people right here, and then all of a sudden way over there, it's fulfilled. And it's like, You know, I think of Tyre, Alexander.
That was incredible.
I know. You know, there's a prophecy about Tyre. Alexander the Great destroyed this great seaport. And that was prophesied in the Bible before he even did it. And I'll save that one as a surprise for you guys, but you need to get more study into this. It's incredible. But that's one of your strongest proofs for the Bible. It's got thousands of filled Bible prophecies, and no other religious book had that. You know, when they asked Muhammad to fulfill do a miracle, he said in the Quran, "Well, the Quran is my miracle." You know, what's that? And when you analyze the Quran, it falls apart like all the other religious books.
Contradictions,
exactly. So, and it has no prophecies. But here's the Bible with thousands of them. It's amazing. And so there's a real proof right there, along with many others, of the veracity, the truthfulness of the Word of God, that it is from a supernatural source, verifying that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, namely the Son of God. And he came and died and shed his blood on a cross to save those who put their faith in him from their sins, from the wrath of God to come. All right, brother, go ahead.
Okay. Going back to the prophecies of Christ, it said about Christ, he'd be betrayed by a friend, in Psalm 41:9, he'd be rejected by his own people, in Isaiah 53:3-4, in Psalm 69:8, and that he'd be given gall for his drink, like a sour vinegar, Psalm 69:21. He'd be killed with transgressors, which is kind of unusual prophecy for a Messiah, for a Savior, Isaiah 53:12, and he'd be buried in a rich man's grave, in Isaiah 53:9. Now, many Jews missed seeing the Messiah because they were looking for a political Savior, and they didn't distinguish between his first and second coming. So they looked at some verses that talk about, that are not fulfilled yet, about what we call the second coming of Christ, but they overlooked all these other verses here. Now, the reason we show the sheer number of prophecies about Christ that were fulfilled is like, well, where are the prophecies in the Bible about Muhammad and the Baha'u'llah? Well, we don't have any that were fulfilled. Where are they in any other book? We have none. They have nothing. They're new guys on the block, kind of totally unexpected. Okay. What prophecies were made? Well, Baha'u'llah, I will say he did write a letter to Napoleon III to stop being so warlike, and he was later defeated by Germany. So, okay, he wrote a letter telling the guy not to be warlike, and he suffered when he wasn't. On the other hand, in 1923, in the edition of Baha'u'llah in the New Era, in the 1923 edition, page 278 and 288 and 89, it says both the Baha'u'llah and Abu Baha predict the most great peace promised unity of man will happen in the 20th century. This was removed in subsequent sections. And you can read this in the book by Frank Beckwith on Baha'is on page 37. Okay. Muhammad in the Hadith prophesied that they'd attack the Romans, that is, he called them Romans, really the Byzantines, and the Persians, and fight with people with flat faces, perhaps meaning the Turks. Well, that's pretty easy to prophesy, but that did kind of happen. Okay. Jesus, though, was most specific. He prophesied he'd be killed, he'd rise from the dead, Jerusalem would be destroyed. And the entire book of Revelation was prophecy given by Jesus to John. Okay? Look at the testimony of the witnesses. The Baha'u'llah's followers, they were persecuted and many were killed. However, many Israeli leaders were mysteriously assassinated. And who would want to assassinate the Israeli leaders, if not Baha'i leaders? Muhammad's followers, they attacked many peoples to spread Islam, and they were given four-fifths of the booty. So, and it's recorded in Al-Tabari's history that in the Muslim armies, there were even some people in the armies that were not Muslims who were a part of the army just to get the booty.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of sad.
And they got a lot of booty in those wars that Muhammad,
yep.
I think he was involved in, what was it, 67 different battles?
At least 68.
68?
Yeah.
I know it's in some of our other videos that we've done on Islam. We give the documentation from Islamic sources.
Well, it's like there's some uncertainty because they're just, so many, you
right.
know, like once every couple months.
And that's how he spread his religion, not from the truthfulness of the religion, but he puts a sword to your throat, and he gives you three choices.
Right.
You can either convert, pay the tax, or die.
Yeah.
And so most people just pay the tax or convert.
Yeah, and then after Muhammad died, many Muslims and Arab Muslims gave up being Muslims. And Muslims fought them until they came back to Islam or were killed. And then they had a civil war between them, so it was very bloody between them. Now, in contrast to this, Jesus' followers did not kill or persecute anybody. There is no documented really persecution by Christians until Christianity became the official state religion after 324 AD, and then unfortunately, the Christians started being like the world, and there was some persecution.
You get to hear about the Crusades and all that.
Yeah. But the early followers of Christ didn't kill anybody because of their beliefs. All right. So you look at all this and say, well, they're so different. How could anybody in the right mind think that all these prophets were from the same God? Well, Baha'is sort of have an answer. One answer is they say it's all corrupted words, and we've already dealt with that, so I won't go over that again. Another answer is they say progressive revelation. So they say that God would reveal something to somebody at one time, and then later, as I guess people matured or became more civilized, and he revealed something else. But the trouble with that is that many things were like an about face. Like under Moses, you couldn't eat pork or camel meat. Under Jesus, you didn't have to have women didn't have to have veils. You could eat anything. And Muhammad went back to saying you couldn't eat pork, but you could still eat camel meat. Women had veils. So there's nothing progressive about this. The Baha'i God, or God according to the Baha'is, also flip flop on divorce. Permitted any cause in the Old Testament. Jesus did not permit a divorce except for unfaithfulness, or adultery. Muslims can divorce as they please. Baha'i men, they can divorce their wives just by saying ouch. And women can divorce after a period of the man not being around.
It does seem like it's very equal, though. They have to wait longer than the
right,
men.
Right.
That doesn't seem fair or equal. The men can just get them out just like that, and mm-hmm. the women have to wait before they can do it. Now, I just want to bring up a point here. We've got about 2 minutes left. I couldn't resist. When you're talking about progressive revelation, I get into a lot of these arguments when I'm dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses. Either they come to my door, I go to Jehovah's Witness Kingdom halls, and I go to their conventions, and I generally cause them trouble by talking about the Bible so much. But anyway, they talk about progressive revelation, and I always like to bring this up. I say, well, where's your progressive revelation when I read your Watchtower magazines? And a quick example, here's our time's running. If I ask a Jehovah's Witness about will the men of Sodom be resurrected, I always keep this card with me, in one of their watchtowers in July 18, 1979, page 8, they say yes. But if you go with their watchtower June 1st, 1952, page 338, they say no. But if you go with a watchtower August 1st, 1965, page 478, they say yes again. But if you go to their Watchtower magazine, June 1st, 1988, page 31, they say no again. And then if you go to their You Can Live Forever on Paradise on Earth, original edition, page 179, they say yes. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. We're down about 1 minute, but that's what you do. That's the way Baha'i progressive revelation is. Yes, no, yes, no. Where's the progression?
Right.
It's like a camel that's going out, in and out, off and on, or whatever. You know, it's terrible. But anyway, go ahead. We got about 1 minute. We've got to close down.
So just to kind of conclude, the Baha'is, they suffer from this flip-flop because they try to include all these prophets with different messages. It's sort of like saying that Karl Marx and, American presidents and everyone else all taught the identical stuff. It's like it just doesn't fly. Okay? But not only Baha'is, but Jehovah's Witnesses and many others, they claim to be from God, and some became very wealthy by doing so, thinking of Reverend Moon, the Baha'u'llah, things like that. However, Jesus had the miracles, prophecies about him, and a sinless life to back it up. Christ's early followers spread the gospel peacefully, while Muhammad's followers attacked with the sword. Now, even though Baha'is do not spread the religion by the sword, they still claim to follow Muhammad, who did, and they claim to follow the Bab, who believed in jihad also. So our whole point of all this is to tell you need to forget about imposters. You need to turn to the one God and what was showed from him through Jesus Christ.
Very well said. With that, we're out of time. I'm Larry Wessels with Steve Morrison for Christian Answers. And just remember what Jesus himself said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And that's the real Jesus Christ, not some fake or fraud. He's claiming that.
Amen.
With that, God bless you. Join us again next time.
check out our websites. BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater. My daughter Marlena has come out with a Christian music CD entitled Win This Fight. It has 8 songs that she has written and performed herself. Some of the song titles are Win This Fight, Love Song to My Lord, Vessel to You, Waiting to Hear From You, Jesus Is, and others. YouTube viewers can listen and see Marlena's music video, Jesus Is, right now, free. Just type Marlena Wessels, MarlenaWessels, in the YouTube search box and click on her video on the page that comes next. If you would like more information about getting a copy of her CD, just email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Or give us a call at 512-218-8022. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and yours.